Scott with SJ Wildfire.com, Final Days Report, episode 399. We're calling this VCast, End of Days in the News. That's going to make you sick. We have not done a VCast in a while. The flu came through the house I'm living at, and finally, I feel better 3-4 days later. This took a toll on me. Couldn't eat, couldn't keep anything down, weak, fever, didn't drink coffee, so I had a splitting headache. Maybe that's a sign I need to reduce my coffee intake. But I wrote a couple VCasts, so a lot of the news I'm going to cover is a bit dated, but I have an interesting spin and take that you need to look out for. And I think these news stories that I'm going to cover are going to creep up all throughout 2025. Also, some end of day signs of a river turning red. The moon is actually turning red. I want to recover that story, reintroduce that story. And I had a wild dream I'm going to cover in the end of this brain-computer interface, this augmentation, and how people will ultimately blaspheme the Holy Ghost. It is the Mark of the Beast system where they cannot accept Christ. And how they're going to sell it is mind-bending. And you can see people actually jumping into hooking up to artificial intelligence for certain skills. This one is absolutely mind-bending. All right, the first story I want to cover is Trump moving towards a cashless society. And if you're awake, this has been proposed forever to ditch the penny, and they want to ditch the nickel next. It's the first step to getting rid of cash, getting rid of coins, right? Ultimately, they're going to say we need to get rid of cash because it's killing people with fentanyl. We need to get rid of cash because it's carrying disease. That's going to be the playbook. This is from Fortune. Does Trump's penny plan make sense? How ditching the hated coin, who hates it, would affect consumers. Meanwhile, the right, which I find fascinating, it's wings of the same bird. Break out of this right-left paradigm. We're getting played. We're getting played by Satan on the dark side of the left and Lucifer, this fake light. All in all, the goal is AI governance for this one world government. But the left pushed central bank digital currencies, that programmable voucher, and the right is pushing Bitcoin, which I find fascinating because all this will be on the blockchain. And who has the keys to the ledger of the blockchain? You got to ask the question. And I was reading some articles. The CIA has had their hands in the creation of Bitcoin and some of these cryptocurrencies. The founding of Bitcoins is sketch at best. You have to ask the question, would the federal government really allow Bitcoin and these cryptocurrencies to take off? Now, they want to get you trained into this money system, this Mark of the Beast money system. But an interesting headline from Fortune, meme coin scam. As hundreds of thousands of investors in Trump's meme coin have lost nearly $2 billion in just a few weeks, while the cryptocurrency's creators have profited around $100 million, according to Fortune. Wow. If Biden did this before he took presidency, the right would be screaming. And it gets even more bizarre with this $100 bill goat, Judas goat. At Mar-a-Lago, a bizarre goat idol is on display. The goat is wrapped in Trump $100 bills that say, "In Trump we trust." So it doesn't say, "In God we trust." It says, "In Trump we trust." Replacing God with Trump, the base says, "I love you," along with Trump's signature. And what I found fascinating is this woman that is taking a photo next to this goat at Mar-a-Lago. Notice the snake pattern dress. They almost need to tell you who they are. And her necklace, I tried to zoom in close. That screams Baphomet necklace. If someone didn't get a picture of that, there's just something off about that necklace. And it gets even more interesting is this goat, this MAGA goat, this flashy sculpture, this demonic sculpture is part of Project GOAT, which stands for Global Offensive Against Trafficking, a charitable initiative aimed at raising funds to combat child trafficking. Now, here is the challenge to Doge, to Elon Musk, looking at all this criminality, all this crime, all this these funds going to promote perversion. The snake is basically eating its tail, as I've described, but then it'll be AI government, right? but interesting article from Health Impact News, is Elon and Trump, they could save basically $70 billion if they actually cut spending on child trafficking programs of the CPS and foster care. And I remember watching a very well done documentary about Clinton signing over federal funds that literally incentivized state CPS to steal kids. And the investigative journalist went on to say about 80% of the kids taken were from a criminal intent standpoint, made up evidence. It's human trafficking. You got to ask the question too with Trump's YMCA theme song. Everybody that's awake knows what that song is about. Just really get the lyrics of the YMCA song and read the lyrics. We knew it back in the, I think, what, 70s, early 80s, that song came out. That really? He has a marketing team. Why would he be putting that song out? It's creepy. His ties to Epstein, creepy. We've documented that within this ministry. Now, here is where this Doge thing's going. Just more things that we've covered before. U.S. Treasury made $100 billion payment to individuals without ID. Right? So what's going to be the solution? ID 2020, this Mark of the Beast system, where you can't go anywhere online or do anything without your ID 2020. You won't be able to shop. It's the Mark of the Beast system. When they launch this beast, Mark of the Beast system, the actual Mark of the Beast, it will have to authenticate you somehow. So I think that's a step to be hooked up to this quantum realm. But can you see it? Can you see the PSYOP? U.S. Treasury made $100 billion payments to individuals without ID. Well, so the solution is going to be ID 2020. Problem, reaction, solution. Now, here's where I just think this beast system is continuously moving forward, is according to NPR, Trump administration set to purchase $400 million worth of armored Teslas. So these Teslas are driverless and they're bulletproof. I think these will be used with robots, with Tesla robots in these Tesla trucks, these Tesla cars that are bulletproof, to hunt down illegals. And eventually they'll be turned on Christians once Noahide laws are implemented. Can you see the playbook? So under the guise of lawlessness by design, to help fuel ID 2020 is we're seeing the criminality of the left exposed by the right. And it's all going to center around IDs. I thought the main point to bring on ID 2020 is with illegal voting. And that's part of it. But it's even more interesting when we actually play the DOJ press conference talking about how when police officers pull somebody over in New York, they cannot get IDs. And I'm going to play at the end of this video at the One World New World Order Government Summit, Larry Ellison speaking to the so-called elite, talking about how we need digital ID. We need to take everybody's information and put it into one system for AI government. I mean, you can't make this up. And Larry Ellison goes on to talk about how passcodes and IDs are going to be something of the past. It's all going to be biometric based. And this is going to funnel the Mexican border crisis and the Canadian border crisis with fentanyl coming in and illegals coming in. It all plays together. There's so many proof points. The right is bringing in ID 2020 under the guise to stop criminality. Lawlessness by design. But listen to our press conference. And the solution, again, is going to be this digital identification. And just to be clear, I'm not saying I'm pro illegal aliens and I'm pro this criminality. My former stepfather-in-law, just a great man, an awesome guy, he was killed. He was T-boned and killed by an illegal alien who was drunk and he didn't have insurance and he never went to jail. This was in Florida. This was in a red state. He ended up fleeing back to Mexico. So I've seen somebody get killed by an illegal alien that hit home. But let's listen. This is going to be the excuse for IDs.
We're here today because we have filed charges against the state of New York. We have filed charges against Kathy Hochul. We have filed charges against Letitia James and Mark Schroeder, who is with DMV. This is a new DOJ, and we are taking steps to protect Americans, American citizens, and angel moms, like the mom standing right behind me, who you're going to hear from in a moment. New York has chosen to prioritize illegal aliens over American citizens. It stops today. As you know, we sued Illinois, and New York didn't listen. So now you're next. With me today, I'm so proud to be joined by Tammy Nobles. Tammy is an angel mom. Her beautiful daughter, Kayla Hamilton, was murdered by an MS-13 member in 2022. And if you are a state not complying with federal law, you're next. Get ready. And the great men and women of law enforcement are standing behind me today. We have FBI, DEA, ATF agents. They put their lives on the line every single day to protect us. And what New York has, they have green light laws, meaning they're giving a green light to any illegal alien in New York where law enforcement officers cannot check their identity if they pull them over. Law enforcement officers do not have access to their background. And if these great men and women pull over someone and don't have access to their background, they have no idea who they're dealing with. And it puts their lives on the line.
I mean, it's lawlessness by design, right? And it's beyond right, left, break from your tribes. It's wings of the same bird because they want AI governance. They want Big Brother AI. They want to measure you under the skin. This was a plan from the 90s. I just saw a pastor talk about this biodigital convergence and artificial intelligence from a book. He talked about this in the 90s. Maybe I'll put this at his comments at the end of this video. But then let's now move to a DOGE subcommittee. This war on waste. Look at how they're priming all the payments to people that just didn't have the proper ID. Because the solution, again, is going to be AI government to solve for waste. And Klaus Schwab just said at the World Economic Forum or the World Government Summit, he said 50% of the jobs are going to be gone between 5 and 10 years. This is the snake eating its tail for a new solution. And I'm sure there are pawns in the game that have been bought out that are going to go down.
We've been able to crack into that and steal people's vital information. Are they using those systems that you would be favorable towards that government seems to be shying away from?
Yes, sir.
And describe that, how that works.
They're systems that are based on encryption. They use technology and they use data to validate you are who you say you are. The people that are stealing right now, I believe a lot of them are actually ghosts from China, Russia, Nigeria, and Romania.
I read a report today that North Korea was involved in this, in some of that as well.
They are.
And those people are our enemies. Again, they'll hate us for free. We don't have to give them taxpayer money. And are there loopholes that can be closed to avoid these improper payments? And I wish you'd describe those to me.
All right. The biggest, most important thing, particularly in the benefit program space, is the use of self-certification. As Mr. Timmons noted, the state of Missouri is using a solution called SteadyIQ to validate wages and wealth. You cannot allow individuals to provide the information based upon what they think. It has to be based on what you know, and that will stop the ghosts from using people's identities to steal money from U.S. taxpayers.
How much money do you calculate is wasted due to waste, fraud, and abuse in the entitlement programs each year?
Yeah, my number right now between federal, state, and local government is you can save $1 trillion a year by simply putting in front-end identity verification, eliminating self-certification, and monitoring the back end of the programs that are providing the benefits. Those three things.
You said you could eliminate that, but are there others you feel like some more low-hanging fruit?
I would start with those three things because they're simple. That'll take that 20% fraud rate that you're seeing in the public sector down below 5%.
Chair Lady, I would suggest that we adopt Mr. Timmons' legislation and get that out of the committee as fast as possible. What actions also could Congress take to fix these problems quickly?
Yeah, I think the first thing is updating and redoing the 1974 Privacy Act. That is virtually impossible to do data matching. It's very difficult to have data shared. And when you look back at the pandemic, data sharing and data matching would have stopped probably 50% of the $1 trillion that was stolen from taxpayers.
Any of y'all like to add anything to that?
Congressman, I would just add that rather than accepting self-attestation, that states should have to be required to actually verify people's identities. And here's the key part, before they get enrolled. They shouldn't get enrolled and then eventually come down the, later on down the road.
It's amazing to me. I have a doctor's appointment back in Knoxville, and the verification process is very extensive. It's more so than the federal government requires for any of this. What type of computer systems are these agencies using, and do they need updating?
They're using very dated technology, but they're also burdened. I look at the USDA, 6.2 million words in a 10,000-page document that shows how to implement the rules of the program. Nobody can figure that out. So one of the things that I think has to happen is the simplification of these processes and systems, and then just use the technology that we use every day in the private sector.
Okay. Thank you all so much for
AI government, no privacy, ID 2020. It's all right in front of you. Now, Elon, we've talked about this before, but he's mapping with crawlers the entire Treasury payment system, finding a ton of waste. My question is, when is he going to take this information and put it into Grok? Because he said in front of Jordan Peterson, the next god will be out of Memphis. That's where Grok is. But here is where Elon is with Grok and his platform.
To finish training about a month ago, we're doing what's called fine-tuning, fixing bugs and whatnot. So we'll release Grok 2, which will be close to a GPT-4. Hopefully, we release that next month. Then what we're doing in the Memphis data center is we're actually training Grok 3. That'll probably finish training in about 3 or 4 months, and then there'll be some fine-tuning and bug fixing and whatnot. And we're hoping to release Grok 3 by December, and Grok 3 should be the most powerful AI in the world at that point.
This reminds me of The Economist magazine. I think this came out in 1988. Get ready for a world currency. That creeped me out, and I wasn't even awake. I think I was in high school still when that came out. The next story I want to cover, I follow the Reese Report, and he's a very talented videographer, truth teller, but he's very new age. And on Telegram, he sent this disturbing note about how Christians are going to destroy the world. And he lumped in Trump's faith advisor. And it was just interesting. There was a lot of pushback on Reese. I pray that Reese gets saved because he could be somebody that really saves a lot of souls if he opened up his eyes and actually started reading the Word of God. But it's just interesting. Paula White is demonic. Let's read from the Jerusalem Post. Trump's faith advisor, Christians must learn from Jews, not convert them. This is just from the pit of hell. It's from the pit of hell. We need to pray for Jews and Muslims. Pray people that are not saved get saved. This is a soul battle. But it was just an interesting article from Trumpet One News about Paula White, obviously saying you don't need to save Jews. And really how she is pushing this ecumenical unity of religions from around the world. She participated in the Moonies Cult Peace Conference, where, if you're not familiar with the Moonies, the founder claimed he was the Messiah, that he met Jesus, Moses, and Buddha. His widow, nicknamed Mother Moon, is considered the mother of peace and was honored so highly by Paula. This conference hosted many heretics, and Trump even did a telecast appearance twice for them where he honored the founder of the church. He got paid money for his appearances too. I might do a podcast on the pre-trip rapture and really diving deep into Schofield reference Bible, that hoodwinked many pastors, many men, women of God with this pre-trib rapture nonsense, separating the church and Israel. Personally, I think it's demonic. When you really study Darby and you study Schofield and the Lotus Club and who belonged for the Lotus Club and who funded the Schofield reference Bible and Darby's own Bible version with all the New Age language, this Helen Blavatsky language, Freemason language, Alice Bailey language. Aleister Crowley was part of Darby's church, the most wicked man in the world. Westcott and Hort, their influence with critical text. They didn't even believe in the first three chapters of the book of Genesis. Demonic. Is that part of the Great Deception? Let me know. Email me if you want me to do a study on the Schofield reference scam. Let's continue. All right, this is cringe. This is where some of these stories are a little bit old, but I just want to make sure everybody's aware. Trump is not talking about buying Gaza. He's talking about owning it. He's talking about taking it over. And he did mention maybe some other Middle Eastern states can help rebuild the process. And we called it day one. This was a land grab. We had all the IDF soldiers admit this was a false flag. Even a very popular rabbi said, there's no way this happened. He called somebody in the military intelligence. This famous rabbi did. And the rabbi came back and he said, yeah, it had to have been a false flag. You'd have choppers out in 5 seconds. And it gets even more interesting. I think we've covered this before, but ex-Israeli war chief confirms issuing the Hannibal directive to kill own civilians, soldiers, on October 7th. So they didn't show up with jeeps in 5 minutes, right? If a mouse hits the fence, they disarmed the people around that area. The Economist magazine showed an actual Hamas glider years before this happened. It's a land grab. It's a false flag. And I'm going to play a video at the end as well from RT talking about all the mineral rights in Gaza. Not only, as Trump said, is it like precious real estate, the Riviera, but it also has a bunch of natural gas called Leviathan. This is nothing short of a false flag land grab. And just let's let Trump say with his own words.
Nobody wants to say that. They're living in hell. It's a death trap.
Mr. President, how do you know that the Palestinians don't want to leave their land? Some people say this is ethnic cleansing. You won't be able to force them to leave their land.
We're moving them to a beautiful location where they have new homes, where they can live safely, where they'll have doctors and medical and all of those things. And I think it's going to be great. Yeah, any questions? King of
USA pirates. We're pirates now, just like we are in Syria stealing their oil. It's very disgusting. You reap what you're going to sow, my friends. False flag land grab. All right. Trump says he may cut aid to Jordan and Egypt if they don't take Gazans. And I read an article as well that said they're going to push the Gazans to Ireland, Sweden, Norway, probably America. So the goal, the Satanist goal is to mix different cultures that don't blend well. This is evil. It's nothing short of evil. And again, from the Independent, Trump says the U.S. will not be buying Gaza, but we're going to take it as he addresses Middle East strife. Here's where it's getting interesting. Because I always think about Zechariah 12 and 14. I don't think God is done with the Jews. I think a remnant will be saved. And again, I think the woman of the book of Revelation that really gets kicked off the beast in the end, and the 10 kings with the Antichrist turn on her, I think it's Jerusalem, right? Jerusalem sits on 7 hills. Jerusalem is involved with the central banks that run all the economies of the world. Jerusalem is one of the hubs of artificial intelligence. Jerusalem is called the great city where they crucified Christ, called Sodom in Egypt. You think of all the smut in this world. I'm just saying, Who killed the prophets when Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees? Who killed the prophets when he was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees? The Catholic Church was not around then, my friends. And then it says in the book of Revelation, you can kill the prophets no more. Keep your eye on Rome, but I'm keeping my eye particularly on Jerusalem. But here's where it gets interesting, because I'm thinking about Zechariah 12 and 14, where it says God brings all the armies against Jerusalem. How is he going to do it? Well, he's going to do it with this land grab, probably. So here is just an article from Times of Israel saying, Erdogan's like, no, you're not moving everybody. It'll be futile. You're not moving the people out of Gaza and their homeland. When you look at scenes from Gaza, it reminds me of that puppet movie where they're like, we got the terrorist, and they're shooting missiles and blowing up the Eiffel Tower. Got to get those tunnels. Just destroying it all. And Christian pastors are like, yeah, it's their promise. Like, really? Do your research on Schofield, on Darby, on Westcott and Hort. Start there. The great deception. I think the great deception is the pre-trib rapture and this dispensationalism nonsense. And again, email me at scott@sjwellfire if you want me to do a study, or are you well aware of what I'm talking about? Because you have to dig for some of the information. It's hijacked within the Google search engines. All right. The next thing I want to talk about is hate speech. We've been warning about Noahide laws. If you worship Jesus Christ, it's off with your head. Trump signed it. But this is an old article I covered before, but I think it fits the theme of this podcast. Jewish leaders call for new editions of the Bible and the Quran to carry trigger warnings highlighting anti-Semitic passages. They're going to ban the Bible because it's going to be considered a hate speech against sexual sin, immorality, and then also against that religion. And you need to think about this. When you just need to look around the world at different news, in Australia, they're banning Nazi salute swastika. A Nazi salute could actually wind you in jail. Probably what Elon did, even though that's a Roman salute, what Elon did probably could get him in jail in Australia. A swastika and other hate symbols in public as anti-Semitism spikes. So Australia is making just simple acts illegal and it'll be jail time. Meanwhile, Kanye West, who I think he's part of the club playing a role for this hate speech psyop to ban free speech, to have AI overlay to monitor free speech. You can't make this up. Kanye West, again, is playing a role where over the last week, West posted a string of anti-Semitic tweets, then paid for a Super Bowl ad directing viewers to a website that sold just one product, a $20 t-shirt with a swastika on it. This screams psyop. It screams psyop to have more anti-Semitic laws, to bring AI in, to monitor everything online, to bring ID 2020 to register you to get on social media. It's a scam. And I had dreams of Jewish people sacrificing their own. So I think you're going to see an uptick in synagogues getting attacked in the future. But it's not going to be from what is reality. It's going to be a false flag to drive this narrative. But then here's where it gets interesting. In an AI video, Jewish celebrities give Kanye West the middle finger. Israeli entrepreneur creates a clip with prominent American Jews, none of whom consented to participating in rejection of the rapper's anti-Semitism. So the news is spinning this of like, well, it's really nice expression, but these celebrities did not have their name, image, and likeness approval to give Kanye the middle finger with the Baphomet Remphant star, the Moloch star. So you got this double edge. We need to monitor free speech because these celebrities did not give their consent. Do you see the psyop? This screams psyop to control the internet. All right. I'm going to play the video where Trump said if he gets taken out by Iran, he's given instructions to decimate Iran. if Trump is the AC, and I'm not saying he is, but if he's the AC, if he gets hit with a mortal head wound, going back to my dream in 2008, where I saw the Antichrist head hooked up to a supercomputer and he showed up as a hologram, if he gets taken out and then shows up as a hologram, in my humble opinion, he's your Antichrist. And we've done a Bible study where that matches up with worshiping the image and lived and was not, but yet is, right? Scripture like that, like dead, and then he came back. Now Trump is going to take Gaza, so he's a nice little puppet of Israel. But when do you think Israel will be, you know what, enough of Trump? Maybe we need to take him out so USA will do the bidding and destroy Iran and think of all the terror cells that will be unleashed here in the United States. So to me, if Trump gets his head taken off, it will probably be blamed on Iran. Let's play this. Let me say that again. If Trump gets taken out, it'll be blamed on Iran, but would it be a false flag from the Mossad so that the United States destroys Iran for Israel's bidding?
This, and I'm unhappy to do it, but I really have not so much choice because we have to be strong and firm, and I hope that it's not going to have to be used in any great measure at all. It'd be great if we could have a Middle East and maybe a world at total peace. We don't want to be tough on Iran. We don't want to be tough on anybody, but they just can't have a nuclear war.
Mr. President, are you going to engage in conversations with your counterpart in Iran?
I would.
And why say that you're unhappy to sign it if it's Iran and their proxies who have threatened to retaliate against you and your team by killing you guys for taking out Soleimani?
Well, they haven't done that, and that would be a terrible thing for them to do. Not because of me. If they did that, they would be obliterated. That would be the end. I've left instructions. If they do it, they get obliterated. There won't be anything left. And they shouldn't be able to do it. And Biden should have said that, but he never did. I don't know why. Lack of intelligence, perhaps. But he never said it.
Mr. President, when you said if they do it, they get obliterated. Just to be clear, you're talking about if Iran made an attempt on your life.
Yeah. That would be called total obliteration.
I'm going to play a video that talks about Trump saying great operation. Netanyahu's going to give Trump this golden pager to basically commemorate the targeted Hezbollah attack with a pagers, cell phones, other devices blowing up. And then it's going to move to just kids being taken out. And I tried to read the copy. It's moving too fast. So if you're listening on a podcast service, this is a video you might need to check out. Final Days Report 399. But it's pretty sick.
اسمي حسين محمد هيني، عمري 11 ونص بصف السادس. كنت بالبيت، كنت قاعد انه عم بلعب التليفون، هي رنت اني انه امر انه رني غريبه، امت لحتى ما حملتها بدي اكبس اوكي. انفجرت بعدين، ما شفت شيء ولا عرفت شيء.
الحمد لله، يعني بس شفت حسين انه كان شيء صعب كتير، مش شيء انه سهل وهيك. كان كتير مشوه، ما كان في وجه، ما كان في شيء بوجهه أبدا أبدا أبدا، ولا إيديه، عينه اللي هلا عم يقشع فيها كانت محروقة، ما في أمل حسين كان أبدا إنه يقشع.
وإصابته كتير قوية، ومناخيره رايحين وتمه وسنانه حتى لما راح على مستشفى نحن شطفنا البيت، لقينا سنينه وعظم وجه ومنافيره كلها بالأرض.
الحمد لله منقول ما رأينا إلا جميلة.
العمليات اللي عملتهم أنا بينعدوش.
احنا تمنينا من الله خلي لنا عين وإيد، فالله استجب لنا، ترك لنا عين وإيد.
Pages that blew up simultaneously across Lebanon and nearly 3,000 were wounded, including children on Tuesday. Innocent civilians were also killed. Now the New York Times.
أول شيء أنا كنت إنه قاعدة بلعب على التلفون، وهي إنه فجأة الساعة 3 إنه قبل ما أنا أحملها عم بلعب على التلفون، هيك صارت ترنرني غريبة. أم أنا إنه قمت حملتها حطيت لي إرور وسهم إنه عشان أكبس أوكي، والضو صار يغبش على الآخر يعني عشان نقربها لعيوننا. أم أنا قربت عشان أشوف شو فيه، بس فقعت معش عرفت شي. في اشياء بعد ما بقدر اعملها، مثلا مثل اركض، العب على البسكلي، العب فابور، على المدرسه. والصعوبات ان انا اللي واجهتها لما كانوا عيوني ملزقين وايدي وكل وجهي. اول شيء هلا بعدني مش مخصصت لهالشيء.
يعني اذا بدك شو اكثر شيء مشتاق تعمله؟
خلصت العمليه وايديك الحمد لله رجعوا تمام، وفيك تمسك الفوتبول، فيك تشوطه. شو حابب تعمل اول شيء؟
اول شيء اتمشى كزدر.
كزدر وين بتحب الكزدر بلبنان؟
بصور على البحر او اسبح. مش كتير، بس هلا قبل البيجر بكم يوم رحنا على المسبح، كنت عم بسبح.
Now my question is, with that detailed strike, why couldn't Israel have done that in Gaza instead of just turning the entire area into a demolition site to steal the land? Just a question, my friends. All right. I wrote this right when it happened, with Canada and Mexico sending troops to the border to stop fentanyl and to stop human trafficking and to stop illegal aliens coming to the border. How does this tariff delay fit the theater of this beast system? Because you got to remember the Deagle report, where 80% of the Western nation's population, according to the Deagle report, is going to be destroyed by 2025. I'm not sure if they're on schedule. I think they're a little off from it. And then you also need to think about the merging of Canada and the United States. It's almost like the elite, and I say that loosely, I say that in a joking way, the satanic elite, they're giving Trump an opportunity to merge with Canada, either by tariffs in Greenland, right, for this Club of Rome map, or they're going to do it via war. So check out Final Days Report, episode 383. This is one big playbook. But you need to think about this. The Mexican president was predicted by The Economist magazine, The Economist 2024, a year ahead. You can see the Mexican's president. And by the way, there was a lot of death right before she became president. So a lot of blood was shed so she could become president. You see her ponytail there. And then Trump, we've covered with the question mark on his ear, right? He was hit with the ear. Go back and do your research about those so-called assassination attempts. But the big part of this political theater, and I think it's theater, this drama, the stage, this big-time wrestling act that we're seeing, is to bring in this biometric entry exit visa tracking system on both sides that fits ID 2020, that fits everything that we've talked about in this VCast, that fits DOGE, finding the corruption, and it ultimately bringing this AI one world government that ultimately will allow you to do a brain computer interface to tie up to AI. That'll be the last benefit that I'll cover a couple of dreams in the end. But let's go back to Trump's first administration of what he was planning to do, because this is the plan now.
Ensure that this system is in place, and I will tell you, it will be on land, it will be on sea,
It will be in air. We will have a proper tracking system.
We've covered that video a couple times last 3 years of this ministry. Now, here's the bit that I find also alarming with this president from Mexico that was placed in position. The recent deal between the United States and Mexico to avoid tariffs involves Mexico agreeing to send 10,000 National Guard troops to its northern border to address issues like drug trafficking and illegal migration. Folks, the government runs the drugs. We did a podcast why we got out of Afghanistan is because heroin is not as profitable as fentanyl. That's why we got out. In exchange, the U.S. has agreed to pause the 25% tariffs on Mexico goods for 1 month to allow for further negotiations. Many people have had dreams of the United States being invaded by China, Russia, and Cuba, and by drug cartels or Muslim gangs. Those are the ones that I've had, and I've heard many, many other people have similar type dreams. When I first heard this, I'm like, is this a staging ground for troops, to put troops on the border, to build them up, and to get people softened? They're like, hey, they're allies of ours, and then for allow for an invasion. If you don't think the U.S. runs the drugs, watch the movie Clinton Chronicles. They totally run the drugs. There's so much evidence of this. And really, up north, it's been creepy as well forever. It turns out that the Justin Trudeau signed a treaty with China in late 2019. In January 2020, the Canadian Independent Press Review reported as follows. Under the terms of the Foreign Investment Protection Act, a bilateral treaty ratified with China by the Trudeau government in 2019, Chinese security forces can be stationed on Canadian soil to protect vital Chinese investments without the knowledge or consent of local authorities. Now, what was super creepy is after that article went out, people were sending videos of Chinese troops all throughout Canada. It was creepy. And we did that podcast that got me kicked off of TikTok twice. 1,000 Chinese military age men walking through the border of Texas in one night in one location. And this was a pretty credible witness that filmed it. Another article from Natural News. Communist China has already invaded the U.S., stationed troops disguised as security at solar plant farm, says analyst. And I had that dream that there was a Chinese military plane and behind it was a U.S. plane just landing, troops coming in. They're allowed to be here. Where are the 1.5 billion hollow point bullets from the DHS? We've already been invaded. Let's continue with Justin Trudeau. He invited China People's Liberation Army to train troops in Canada, according to a top secret documents published by Canadian conservative news site, which claims they were sending spies, not just soldiers, to train, from the Daily Mail. And then with this whole tariff thing, conservative leader has called for Canadian soldiers to be sent to the border along with helicopters and surveillance equipment to address concerns raised by the U.S. The Canadian government has committed $1.3 billion to bolster border security, including surveillance towers, drones, and helicopters. This is that AIB system. So, staging ground for invasion of the United States, if we don't play ball. And at a minimum, this bio-digital convergence. They need the Club of Rome map, it appears. It's creepy. It's absolutely creepy. And then you peel back the onion with the war on the cartels. And again, the U.S. government runs the drugs. They control the cartels. They off the ones they don't control, was the history of the drug wars. But now Trump is authorized to take out the cartels. Well, the cartels authorized the use of weaponized drones against ICE agents. When I'm seeing this drama play up with the DOGE destroying the left, I guess, benefits, with going after the cartels, with this land grab of Greenland, it takes me back to all the invasion dreams I've had in the United States. And one of the most scary dreams I've ever had, and it was, will USA fall? It's very old. I had this dream a long, long time ago when I first got saved, but it was so vivid that I just saw, and I didn't know if they were gangs or Muslims. I just knew they weren't necessarily from the United States, attacked multiple train stations at the same time. And I'm talking rape, stabbing, brutal murder. It was a shock and awe event. And it just reminded me of all the sleeper cells that are here in the United States. So then you peel back the onion as well with what's happening in Gaza, that land grab. We're a sitting duck. We're an absolute sitting duck. Judgment is going to come to the United States, my friends. But if you're sitting back and this is all doom and gloom, it's just interesting. I think it's in Argentina, a river has turned red. They're blaming it on dyes. That is an end of days sign. I think it'll be more dramatic than just a river here and there. But is God trying to warn us? Pretty intense. I mean, this is red if you're just listening on a podcast service. And a friend of mine, scientist friend of mine, sent me an article about the moon turning red and NASA doesn't know why. And we did a podcast on that, Final Days Report, episode 329, when the moon turns red. So it's slowly rusting and turning red, and it's a blood color. And they can't figure out why that is. And all of this reminds me of SEAL 6. Going back to Elon, we've been doing a podcast, is Elon Musk the false prophet? So Elon Musk, one of his companies is the Boring Company, right? To build underground tunnels, with the moon turning red and the river's turning red. A lot has to happen before we 100% see that take full effect. But I think it's a marker. But it reminds me of Elon's Boring Company and the rich men building their tunnels. So let's read SEAL 6. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, right? The moon is becoming blood. And scientists, NASA doesn't know why. We covered it in 329. And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll. Some think that that's the firmament, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, this is interesting, this reminds me of the boring company, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bound man, and every free man hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, that's Jesus Christ, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I don't care how far you dig, how deep you dig, to the satanic elite, it's not going to protect you. All right, I want to end with this dream that I've been sitting on for a little bit, about brain computer interface, this augmentation, and how people will lose their free will as they build this AI government, as they build this AI infrastructure. They've been slowly priming us with how Neuralink and Neuralace doesn't need invasive surgery, how it'll map your brain and it'll solve things like blindness. Maybe even if you're crippled, if you have some sort of disease like Parkinson's. So it sounds great, but it has read write capabilities. It's part of this beast system. Will you lose your free will? That's going to be the question. Will you lose your free will? And right now they're marketing it, and it's kind of sexy because it's really hitting people's, I guess, issues, their diseases, their chronic conditions. So people are looking at it as a miracle, but then it's going to move into superhero capabilities. So just want to share the three dreams that I had, or the three parts of the dream that I had. So I saw someone hooked themselves up to the car to have a symbiotic relationship with AI to drive the car. And I got the sense in my dream, it was an older person that couldn't drive. And this person did not want to just rely on AI driverless cars. He wanted to be able to drive and put his hands on the wheel and press the gas. So he wanted to be the best driver ever, but not rely on driverless cars. And I saw this interaction, and it was like, He was thinking to this computer system in the car. He had to sign the terms of service, and it was a read-write terms and service, meaning they could read your mind and write to your mind. Those are my words from listening to how Elon describes this augmented reality, this brain-computer interface reality for this mind-controlism driver car AI assist tech. So he had to sign this terms of service agreement. And in my spirit, I heard Mark of the Beast system lost his free will. And ultimately what he did when I woke up from this dream is he blasphemed the Holy Ghost never to get saved, because he will never come to Christ because this AI system took control of his brain. He signed this contract, and it was just so he could drive the car and be a great driver and still have the power and freedom to go places. Maybe he was old and he just couldn't pass the test anymore to see. I'm not sure. It wasn't in my privy of the dream. And then next, I saw this child, maybe a sixth, seventh, eighth grader. I saw this child that was struggling playing football, hitting the holes and having vision. And his parents upgraded him with AI so AI could help him make split decisions. So it was like this AI assistance to be a better athlete, to see the holes, to make a cut, to drive when there's somebody who's tackling him harder. Just say, hey, plow through, get a yard. To have better hand-eye coordination. So will we see a day where people hook up to AI for better hand-eye coordination to be an amazing golfer? I mean, I saw this. The dream was vivid. And I was thinking about this after I woke up from the dream about how churches have really fallen out of favor. One, because I think they've just gone woke and you know, just aren't really fearing the Lord on so many fronts. But a big part, when I first was a Christian in 2008 and started going to church, a lot of families stopped going to church because their kids played sports. They were in travel leagues. So sports has become an idol in the United States. And then all of a sudden in this dream, somebody's upgrading to be a better sports player. All right, the next part of the dream that I thought was the most demonic one is I saw a human that hooked up to this brain computer interface augmentation to this AI and actually had the split personality AI version testify in court. So this person was in court, but the judge also asked the AI version of himself. So it was almost like the judge was talking to two distinct people, and AI knew everything. AI was regurgitating every detail that AI saw. It was the AI all-knowing witness. This creeped me out. And if you follow our ministry, it was a long time ago, I did a podcast about how they're trying to give AI rights and robots rights. You can see this. So AI all of a sudden was in court. It was one person, but the judge was asking AI and the person the information. I did not know in my dream if AI was testifying against the person or just a key witness, but it was creepy. This technology will blaspheme the Holy Ghost. As far as I'm concerned, this is Mark of the Beast technology. There'll come a day where you can't buy or sell, obviously, with this. But if you think about this, make war on Christians, to make war against the Christians, if Christians don't want to hook up with this bio-digital convergence and they can't buy or sell, what if they can't even work because they can't compete because their IQ isn't there? Buckle up, Buttercup. It's going to be an interesting ride. I personally think there'll be miracles of manna. We'll see miracles of healing. Great time to be alive, my friends. A bit of a long one. I'm going to play the World Government Summit. They're just telling you who they are. The World Government Summit with Larry Ellison putting some thumbnails, how we've been warning about this AI government for 3 years. Check out some of the thumbnails at sjwellfire.com. And I'm going to play an RT video about the criminality and land grab of Gaza. What's truly there besides it being amazing real estate? Get saved, my friends. Thank you for your support. Keep us in the fight. We're on the target. I'm telling you, we're on the target. God bless.
Gaza is rich. Gas rich. At least 1.4 trillion cubic feet rich, to be precise. But there's a catch.
Geologists and natural resources economists have confirmed that the occupied Palestinian territory lies above sizable reservoirs of oil and natural gas wealth in Area C of the occupied West Bank and the Mediterranean coast off the Gaza Strip. To date, the real and opportunity costs of the occupation exclusively in the area of oil and natural gas have accumulated to tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars.
Back in 1999, the Palestinian authorities signed a deal with British Gas. Just off the Gaza coast, they struck it lucky. And two wells were drilled. That's Gaza Marine 1 and 2. It was a multi-billion dollar gift from God. An economic boon both home and abroad.
This is one of the key messages here today. There will be gas available for export. And from my conversations with Palestinian officials, including President Arafat, it is clear that they have no interest in just sitting on a gas surplus.
Fast forward to 2007. Hamas comes to power and Israel launches an offensive on the Gaza Strip, leaving behind 1,400 dead Palestinians, but taking with it the gas fields. Now, within the year, Israel announced the discovery of the Leviathan natural gas field, which did include Gaza's riches, all in all valued at $453 billion. Now, since then, Gazans haven't seen a shekel, or to be more accurate, they have been denied around $47 billion in revenue. As for Tel Aviv, well, it's gunning to become a new hub.
This is a historical moment in which the small country of Israel becomes a significant player in the global energy market. The Memorandum of Understanding will enable Israel, for the first time, to export Israeli natural gas to Europe. And it is even more impressive looking at the significant set of agreements we signed over the last year, which position Israel and the Israeli energy and water sectors as a key global player.
Let's just run through this then. At that moment in time, so we're talking 2022, Russian oil and gas were sanctioned. Iranian oil was sanctioned. Syrian oil fields were, and still are, illegally occupied by US forces. Now, the key port of Latakia was being bombed by Israel. And the port of Beirut, the gateway to the Middle East, lay in ruins. Enter this small country of Israel right here with its seas of gas, its working ports, an answer to Europe's problems, and perhaps most critically, the US blessing. Because in case you didn't know, US Congress has decided that Israeli energy is in the highest national security interests of Washington. So DC was only too happy for Tel Aviv to become a key global player. After all, it had itself previously mulled over ways in which to make its 51st state a window onto Europe.
Another interesting application of nuclear excavation would be a sea-level canal 160 miles long across Israel, connecting the Mediterranean with the Gulf of Aqaba, and thus the Red Sea and the Indian Ocean. Such a canal would be a strategically valuable alternate to the present Suez Canal.
The Suez Canal is a gold mine. It connects the Mediterranean Sea to the Indian Ocean via the Red Sea. It is the link between Asia and Europe. Every day, almost 3 million barrels of oil, 8% of global LNG, 50 ships, $9 billion worth of cargo, 12% of global trade all pass along this right here single canal. Remember in 2021 how a container ship ran aground in the Suez? Global trade was brought to its knees. The alternative route via the Cape of Good Hope adds around 9 days and 7,000 kilometers to the journey. There is no replacement for the Suez Canal, except perhaps for the Ben Gurion Canal. Now, what the US had been thinking about back in the 60s was dropping 520 nukes on parts of Israel, all to build a 260-kilometer-long canal that would start at the Red Sea down there in the port city of Eilat, run through the Negev Desert, and pour out into the Mediterranean. Where exactly? Right next to northern Gaza, the same northern Gaza that is currently being bombarded and depopulated. Egypt and its money-making Suez Canal would just be sidelined. The same Egypt that, rumor has it, is now considering taking in refugees in exchange for debt relief by the US. And if you think it's crude of me to talk business during times of an existential war, think again.
The winning companies have committed to unprecedented investment in natural gas exploration over the next 3 years, which would hopefully result in the discovery of new natural gas reservoirs.
In recent weeks, Tel Aviv has handed out 12 new licenses to 6 companies, on top of the plan to tap more of the Gaza marine resources. This area is a strategic gold mine. The Israelis have their largest foreign base down the Red Sea, just off Eritrea. And here, a bit further down, well, Beijing has a naval base in Djibouti, a key piece in its enormous global infrastructure project, the Belt and Road, hated by London, Brussels and Washington alike. Always ask yourself, qui bono, who benefits? Because war is horror and war is hell. But never forget that war, above all else, is big business.
A century equivalent of the 19th century Industrial Revolution, maybe more so. Give us your sense of the scale of this revolution, where it's taking us, and its implications, particularly for a lot of the people who are here today who are in government.
Well, about 18 months ago, when we began to fully grasp what the people at OpenAI, ChatGPT, had achieved, a level of artificial intelligence that would actually advance human thinking. We created neural networks that can answer questions that human brains would struggle with. When we came to grips with that, I made a speech and I said, "Is artificial intelligence the most important discovery in the history of humankind?" And question mark, maybe. We'll soon find out. 18 months later, I think it's very, very clear. It is a much bigger deal than the Industrial Revolution, electricity, whatever, everything that's come before. We will soon have not only artificial intelligence, but much sooner than anticipated, artificial general intelligence, and not in too distant future, artificial superintelligence. What is artificial superintelligence? I'll quote my dear friend Elon Musk. Well, Elon said about artificial superintelligence, "I'm not looking forward to being a house cat."
I mean,
so we will have incredible reasoning power, of the ability to discover things that would elude human minds, because this next generation of AI is going to reason so much faster, discover insights so much faster, whether it's being able to diagnose cancer in early stages, or design therapies, custom design vaccines for those cancers, custom made for your genomics and your specific tumor antigens. So that is one of the things that in medicine, we'll see revolutions in diagnostics and in therapeutics. As you know, Tony, we started a project where we're gathering satellite imagery from Kenya to California, and we can predict crop yields. So we could actually tell a farmer, a country, whether they're going to exceed what they expect from this year's harvest, or they're going to have a shortfall and they need to start preparing that. We can tell individual farmers that a part of their fields need additional irrigation. Part of the field needs additional fertilizer. So we can improve yields in individual farms, and then we can do that on a much larger scale, where we can improve yields across countries and even entire regions of the world. I can go on and on, but AI will fundamentally change our lives in medicine, in agriculture, in robotics, across the board.
I mean, just to give some sense of this and how it applies to government. So obviously in things like healthcare, but I guess also in things like education, also in maybe the type of seeds that farmers will use for their crops. I mean, there's a whole series of innovations, and maybe just to because I think people are familiar with the concept of artificial general intelligence, artificial superintelligence, but just give us a sense of what that's going to mean to the development of science.
Well, science, and as science develops, of course, it has incredible economic and social consequences. So you just mentioned a couple of examples. As you know, we are busily trying to design a next generation of rice that grows in salt water. We are busily trying to design the next generation of maize that fixes nitrogen from the atmosphere, so the maize will not require fertilizer. Fertilizer has a number of problems, one of which certain farmers in certain countries can't afford it. So we'll be able to lower the cost of growing, increase yields by having a whole new generation of seeds for wheat, for corn, for rice, that will really provide food security for the planet, at least for the next few generations.
Right, and when you come to government and what government's doing, there are artificial intelligence tools, and some of them I know that Oracle have developed around financial management for government, but also tell us a bit about what, because you're right at the forefront of this revolution, what it means for what government should do in terms of its digital infrastructure, digital ID, data centers, and so on.
In other words, if AI is really this great, how do I take advantage of it? Because the impacts are enormous. And it's very interesting because almost no one is talking about that. Everyone is talking about, and I will answer the question in just a second. Everyone's talking about these fantastic NVIDIA chips that allow us to build these huge AI models, how the data center, Oracle's building a 2.2 gigawatt data center that costs between 50 and soon $100 billion to build these data centers and train these models. Because these models are so expensive, you won't build your own as a rule. There'll be a handful of these models. Question is, how do you take advantage of these incredible AI models? And the first thing a country needs to do is to unify all of their data so it can be consumed and used by the AI model. Everyone talks about the AI model, and they are astonishing. But how do you provide a context? I want to ask questions about my country. What's going on in my country? What's happening to my farmers? I need to give it my climate data. Now, it probably has your climate data already, but I need to know exactly what crops are growing and which farms, to predict the output. So I have to take satellite images. I have to take those satellite images for my country and feed that into a database that is accessible by the AI model. So I have to tell the AI model as much about my country as I can. You tell part of the story with these satellite models. You get a huge amount of information. You tell it where roads are, where borders are, where your utilities are. So you need to provide a map of your country for the farms and all of the utility infrastructure and your borders. All of that you have to provide. But beyond that, if you want to improve population health, you have to take all of your healthcare data, your diagnostic data, your electronic health records, your genomic data. And in the Middle East, in the UAE, for example, they're incredibly rich in data. They have a lot of population data. The NHS in the UK has an incredible amount of population data, but it's fragmented. It's not easily accessible by these AI models. We have to take all of this data we have in our country and move it into a single, if you will, unified data platform. So we provide context when we want to ask a question. We've provided that AI model with all the data they need to understand our country. So that's the big step. That's kind of the missing link. We need to unify all of the national data, put it into a database where it's easily consumable by the AI model, and then ask whatever question you like.
Yeah, so you've obviously got to have your data in a good form. So that's got to be, it's going to be data that, because what you feed into that model is vital that it's accurate. But then secondly, what you're saying is with these large language models, you wouldn't try and recreate necessarily your own, because the expense of that, the investment is just vast, but you can adapt it with your own data and then interrogate it for the purposes of government policy, right?
Exactly. So you provide additional training. So these AI models are trained primarily by data that's publicly available on the internet. And there's a lot of climate data that's publicly available on the internet. But most certainly your national health records aren't available on the internet. That stuff is not available, but that's very precious, very, very precious for your data, for your country, because you're using that data to improve population health and get better outcomes for individual citizens. So all of that data, and right now countries' data is fragmented. The problem is it's not like go to this database and here's all the data about my country. It's go to this 3,000 databases and here's all the information about my country. So we know how to do that. You can pipe this data from these 3,000 separate data sources into a single unified database. And that's what we need to do. We need to layer on top of all of this fragmented data that we have about all this information we have about our country. And we need to take that and unify that into a single database. So when we ask questions, the data model has all the information it needs to answer the question, discover the insight, and recommend an action.
So you're really, through the use of this, you're revolutionizing the way government works, right? The services it provides, the way that it operates. What about things like financial management, procurement? How can AI help a government operate more efficiently, more effectively, give a more direct and better service to the citizen?
Well, modern, we have these modern financial systems. So, countries can, and all, for example, Oracle has this thing called Fusion Financials. And Fusion Financials is chock full of AI agents that help you do a better job, predict what supplier might be late, what supplier, again, might not deliver on time. It helps you put things out for bid if you want to bid things. It knows that certain transactions are confidential. Sometimes military transactions are confidential. It helps you buy, procure things, manage the budget, see what agencies are likely to go over budget. So you can tell early on something in the fourth month if an agency is going to miss their budget, and if necessary, take corrective measures. Just like you can know early on if your farmers, if your agricultural output is going to miss its targets, and you're going to have a crop shortfall, you can take action by futures crops from other areas. The AI system will help you do that. But again, the secret is to get all of that data in one place. Without having the basic data, it doesn't have it cannot answer the question about your country.
I mean, we're here in the UAE, which is really at the forefront of the use of AI in government. One of the things that people often ask from developing countries, but also developed countries, is, well, what's the importance of having that basic digital infrastructure in place? You know, cloud services, data centers, digital identity. How important are these things to put in place so that the rest of the system works effectively?
Well, I think one of the most important things is not to put the digital infrastructure in place and make sure it is secure. And often it needs to be sovereign. So I think countries are very uncomfortable with keeping their data in other countries' data centers. So I think part of our essential infrastructure, just like airports obviously need to be in our country, or they're not terribly useful. Ports need to be in our country, they're not terribly useful. Data centers, because of the privacy requirements around the data, need to be in our countries, or they're not terribly useful. They need to be in our countries, but they also need to be secure. And there are new technologies right now. This is the last year you will ever log on to an Oracle system with a password. By the middle of this year, I'm quite certain you are Tony Blair. And so how do I know? Well, I look at you, I hear your voice, I listen to the kind of questions you ask. I'm pretty sure you're not synthetically created in having this conversation. The security system, we have biometric logins. The computer recognizes you. It recognizes your voice. It might ask you to put your index finger on the return key. And we know, we're absolutely certain it's you. There's no reason to enter a password. In fact, passwords are too easily stolen. Data centers and data is being taken hostage all over the world. The ransomware business is a very, very good business. It's getting bigger and better every year. We tend not to talk about it because the American FBI has a simple advice to someone whose data has been ransomed. Just pay them, because there's nothing we can do about it. But there is something we can do about it, not after the data is stolen, but before the data is stolen. We can make sure that we're using the latest security technology, and it is going to be biometrics assisted by AI to make sure that you are, in fact, Tony Blair, and I'm sure you are.
Yeah, well, there are times I wish I wasn't, by the way, but that's, that's another matter. But Larry, just because we're tight on time, I mean, you've got a lot of people here from government, also from the technology sector. One of the hardest things is to get the people in government to understand just the how much in government is going to change, how you might reimagine the way that government functions, and also to get the people with the technology, with the enabling technology, into the right dialogue with them. Okay, because this is a new world, right? How do you keep on top of these developments, and what would your advice be? I mean, you've got a lot of people from governments around the world. What would your advice be to someone in government trying to figure all this out, trying to work out how they make sense of this huge revolution in technology to deliver better services for their citizens? What should be their attitude of mind? And maybe, if you don't mind also, what's the skill set you need to bring into government?
Well, I think one of the biggest changes, I can talk about my country and a little bit about the UK as well. The people now expect in a democracy that we provide a high level of service. Government provides a high level of service, where people get very dissatisfied and they vote us out of office. And people, one of the services, the most expensive service we provide typically in our countries is healthcare. Healthcare, and when people expect high quality healthcare, people even talk about healthcare being a human right. We can deliver healthcare at a much lower cost. I mean, not only do we get much better outcomes, but by early diagnosis, better therapeutics, better population health. And we can get all of that as long as countries will put their data, their healthcare data, all of it, in a single place where we can use AI to help manage the care of all of the patients and the population at large. We can deliver a very, very high quality service. But that's also true of a variety of social services, not just healthcare, if we're having supplementary housing. And we can do it, and we can also eliminate all of the fraud. I think one of the most interesting things in the first couple of weeks of the Trump administration, and I think everyone is shocked, and by the way, including Elon and the president and me and everyone, though I don't want to lump myself in that, that's quite a group. I'll just Elon and the president, on the amount of fraud and the government system's not catching them in our country, in the United States, the vast amount of fraud that's going on in our systems, and we didn't know. No one went, because they're such primitive IT systems, people were able to get Social Security payments up to their 150 years old. Now, I would love to live to be 150 years old, and then I certainly would deserve my Social Security, though some people would argue, I don't need it, but I'll take it. But if I live to 150, I'll take it. I would love that. But we can provide high-quality services, save the government a vast amount of money. Our populations will be healthier. They'll have longer lifespans, and the government will be spending less while getting better outcomes. I think this will make for a happier citizenry and dramatically improve the quality of our lives, of all of our citizens. And I think we just need to, the digital tools we have right now are so primitive that a lot of people have been able to defeat them. Whether it's someone doing, taking over your utility or taking over your hospital and locking you out of all of the hospital data. You need to modernize, seriously modernize your systems. But not only do you need to modernize your systems, again, let's take the UAE in particular, and we looked at the UAE very closely and are talking with people in the UAE about the treasure of data that they have and how they could deliver population health, improve the quality of life, improve the health span of the entire population by using modern technology, preparing their healthcare data, putting it in a single place, and then using these AI models to improve the quality of care.
Well, there's an amazing opportunity to reimagine the state, the way that government functions, and the service that it can provide for its citizens. And Larry, thank you so much for being with us. You've explained in a short period of time, I think, just what the massive opportunity is for governments to utilize technology to change their country and to change the lives of their people. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you.